Welcome to Get Over It, the Consciousness Transforming Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got Marie D. Jones back with us, and she's talking about her 2.0 version of her book, 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, Mysterious Signs, Sequences, and Synchronicities. And we all remember her first book, The 1111 Time Prompt, and she has done a 2.0 on this, and it's giving you more information and delves deeper. So if numbers are your thing, or if you're noticing a sequence of numbers, this is the book for you to get so you can understand what the heck is going on. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you shift your consciousness to breakthrough blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you let go of the BS that is holding you back. But the real question is, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience supporting people to break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing cutting-edge information which enables you to prosper and thrive. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I have also authored 2 books. I provide consultations and healings in all areas of life that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your very best life. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence, but they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist, so whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, NessMoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. Marie is back. Marie D. Jones is the best-selling author of over 20 nonfiction books on disaster preparedness, the paranormal, ancient knowledge, unknown mysteries, UFOs and alien technology, surveillance and technology, conspiracy theories, metaphysics, spirituality, and cutting-edge science. She has appeared on the History Channel's Nostradamus Effect and the TV series Ancient Aliens. Now, she has another passion outside of just being in this spiritual world. Her second passion after writing is horse racing, a sport that she has been enamored with since childhood, and at one time she even wanted to be a jockey. So instead, she's venturing into a partnership waters with other people. She owns shares in 3 racehorses, and I'm quite sure there's more to come. I can't wait to see her at the finish line and the Kentucky Derby when her horse crosses the line. And one day, she hopes to own her own racehorse and breed them. So, folks, I shared that because I want you to know that people in this line of work do more than just what some might consider woo-woo or delve into the paranormal. We do have real active lives. Now, you can check Marie out at her website, and that's MarieDJones.com. Again, that's MarieDJones.com. Welcome back, Marie.
Well, hello. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's
so
great to have
you here with you.
Well, thank you. And I have to share with the folks that you co-authored this book with Larry Flaxman, and he's like your writing partner. You guys have been together for eons, and you pump out such wondrous books. Why the 2.0 version of the 1111 time prompt?
You know, it's funny because the original, which was done, gosh,
2009. 2009, because I was going to ask you some questions around that, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So at that time, that was an idea of the publisher, New Page Books, that I had just started working with. And I think I had written Science, Super Volcano in 2013, End of Days or New Beginning. And as happens often, the publisher will come to you, the writer, and say, hey, you know, we'd like somebody to write a book on such and such. Would you be interested? So this was one of those cases. They came and said, would you be interested in writing about the 1111 phenomenon, time prompt phenomenon? And I had just started working with Larry. We had met, began corresponding over my very first book, Science, P-S-I-E-N-C-E. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, hey, you want to write a book with me? He's like, oh, absolutely, you know, okay, that'd be great. And it was like, well, it's about the 11:11 time prompt. And we both were like, huh? What's that? We had no clue. And it's funny because, I mean, we both, myself, I had always seen certain number sequences over and over, but I never gave it any thought at all. So we did a little bit of research, and we were just overwhelmed by how big of a phenomenon this really was, global, you know, millions of people seeing all kinds of time prompts, but mainly 11:11. So we wrote that book. And then not too long ago, the same publisher came back and said, hey, you know, we'd like to do a revised version with some new ideas, some new things that have come up. And so we said, oh, okay, sure. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely the books that Larry and I have done together, the most popular book and the best selling that we've done, because it just, like I said, even today, I go on Facebook and my friends are, oh, you know, anybody else see the number 93 or 333 or what have you?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's just so fascinated with these time prompts.
Yes, and you brought that to our attention on a global basis, so thank you very much. Now, I've got a question for you. Your original book was published, at least this is what Amazon says, on 2/15/2009, which actually breaks down to a 1. And then this next book was published on 11/1/2019, which breaks down to a 5, if I did my math correctly. Did you pay any attention to that when you were just writing, or did it just naturally evolve this way?
Oh, that's totally up to the publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I never even thought of that. You know, I never even thought about the dates of publication and how they might affect the book, the
mm-hmm.
book's reception, the book sales, how people, you know, respond to it. But that's really interesting. My favorite number is 3. So I see 3s, I see 6s, 9s, 333, 33, variations of 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, like, if you would have just said, oh, this would add it up to 3, it would have given me goosebumps. But no, it's funny. I've never thought about that. So obviously I'm going to go look up 5. And, you know, different, like, numerology is a complex area of study because there's different types of systems.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with astrology, there's not just one particular system. So the number 5-1 system might mean, you know, global success, changing people's minds or opening their minds to new ideas, or it could mean something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I'm really surprised that neither one of us ever thought about that, because publication dates are out of the writer's hands.
Oh, okay. Well, it's interesting.
But you know what? You bring up a really good point, because I do some self-publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not a bad idea to figure out dates that you can self-publish a book or a report that are of significance, or, you know, are somehow of significance to what the subject matter is. That's
mm-hmm.
actually a really cool idea that I'm going to start doing. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And it'd be interesting to follow it and see, you know, where the energy takes it. I just thought it was interesting. I can't find a page in a book right now, but I actually distilled it down to you had written someplace in the book about your numerology with your name and Larry's. And
yes,
I can't remember what you turned out.
Oh, my gosh. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, you don't, like, you're supposed to use your birth name,
mm-hmm.
Because, and I use Jones as, like, a professional name. It's my
mm-hmm.
married name, but I'm not married anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, yeah, here it is. So it's like, well, which name do you use? But you're really supposed to go back to your birth name. So I came out to a 6,
mm-hmm.
and Larry came out to a 4, and then we talked a little bit about, you know, being able to do this on your own. There's a chart in the book that you could follow.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you definitely are supposed to use your birth name, just like with astrology, the day and time of your birth.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, sometimes I think that should be especially people in the public eye, somewhat private, only because there's a lot of cuckoos out there that will try to disrupt anything because they can. So, you know, when I'm doing my readings, I ask for someone for their given name at birth, and I tell them whatever's on your birth certificate, and then I ask them what they call themselves today, and then, you know, we move forward from there. But you can't always put all of you out there because, you know, there's a lot of interesting people out here doing very interesting things, and not necessarily.
You know, you bring up a good point, though. So if our names are numerically important, you know, where we apply a number to a letter. Well, if we're known more by a certain name, then does that take precedence? Like, is that more important to your destiny and your goals than the name you were born with? Because, like, in my case, you know, Marie D. Jones is the name that has sort of been put out there and branded on all of my writing. And so it's almost like you have two identities. And, you know, which one, like, I didn't do the chart for Marie D. Jones, and I probably should, but it's like, well, which one is the right one to do?
I think both.
And actually, yeah, I should. And it's funny because in the book, and I just found this, I didn't realize this, we did two different techniques. We did, and in one of them, I was a number one, and Larry's a four, and then in the second technique, I'm a six, and he's a four. So how come I'm a one and a six, you know? Different personality. which I joked about. But, yeah, I mean, I think names, dates, times of birth, all of that stuff is so significant. But also, as we get older, things in our life change, and we kind of adopt other names, you know, that we use, nicknames. Some people use their nicknames, their real names. So is that more of an indicator in numerology than, you know, your birth name? And that's, I think that's where people have to do their chart or go have it done with different variations and just kind of see what makes sense to them, you know, intuitively pick out what makes sense to you.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong. It's just information. And in my old ass age, I'm finally figuring that out. That is,
yeah, exactly.
You know, just
astrology too. You know, numbers are the language of the universe, but that language is open to interpretation. You know?
Yeah, it is.
As is anything. Yeah.
So Marie, how are numbers a wake-up code of consciousness? I mean, this show is about, you know, shifting consciousness. How are numbers a wake-up code of consciousness?
So it was funny. There was a show on the other night, and I fell asleep, so I didn't get to watch it. But it was a three-part series called The Code that I'd never heard of, and apparently the person did a lot of research into numbers and a numeric code behind all of creation. I'm really excited to watch it because that's kind of what's behind all of this. My father was a geophysicist, and many, many years ago when I started writing, he said, oh, you should write a book about numbers. And I thought, are you crazy? I hate math. I hate balancing my checkbook. And I made the mistake of thinking that numbers are just what you learn in math class or trying to balance a checkbook or do your taxes. And they're not. We literally are talking about the language of, you know, how the universe formed, how galaxies and planets and star systems came into being, and also how all of the chemical and biological necessities of life came into being. They're at the very foundation of who we are as human beings. Our subconscious also loves numbers and patterns. And when you put those two together, where you have a time prompt like 1111, it's more about your subconscious understanding why you're getting that particular little wake-up call from the universe, people call it, what it means to you. A lot of people will say, oh, I see 1111 all the time, but nothing happens, or I don't really know why. And the thing I always say is, it doesn't, just because nothing happens doesn't mean your subconscious isn't taking in some kind of symbolic meaning that will later become conscious to you. But the big one is synchronicities. So people that have or see patterns, see numeric or mathematical patterns, often will tell you that they become way more keyed into the present moment because they're noticing something. They're not worrying about the past or the future. They're just locked into that present moment. And as a result, they start to experience more synchronicities. And that can be, you know, synchronicities that are helpful in maybe getting a job or meeting a mate or, you know, advancing your career, or if you have, you know, poor health, maybe something will just sort of pop into your email or feed that you need. Those kinds of synchronicities that we are probably bombarded with all the time, but we ignore because we're so focused on either the past, what happened in the past, or what's going to happen in the future.
Well, we have to pay attention. I know that in my life, for years and years and years, I was seeing the number 512. And I'm like, what's that about? Because I know one thing, it's an area code in Austin, Texas. And I had a bad experience in Austin, Texas. So I don't want to identify with that. And then I would see 1111 or 111. And then I would see 911. And the first time I saw 911, I'm like, oh, my God, what's going to happen to somebody? You know, I'm thinking that something bad is going to happen to a family member.
Yeah.
And it didn't. And then when I kept seeing it, I started to pay more attention to what was going on when I saw that number. Was I cooking? Was I doing something, you know, really mundane? Or something really out there, whatever it was. And then I learned to look at whatever number I was seeing, the meaning of it, attached to what I was actually currently doing in real time. And that gave me insight. Do you see that happens with a lot of people?
Absolutely. So you have kind of two different camps of understanding here. You have people that just will say, and this is true, you know, it is true, we do have to bring it up, that our brains love patterns. They like to take chaos and create some kind of order around it. We actually have a part of the brain called the reticular activating system, and the RAS, that's what it does. It literally filters out, it's like a human GPS. It filters out the, you know, we're getting bombarded with billions of bits of information every minute, and we need some kind of filter to only allow what's important to us to get it to the brain's processing center. Otherwise, we would be, you know, drooling on the floor. You know, it's like, oh my God, overwhelmed. So the RAS does that. It literally filters out the unimportant things. But when you notice something a few times, like if you see 1111 once, you're not a big deal. You know, you're not going to notice anything unless something really amazing happens at that exact moment. But if you see it twice, oh, what a coincidence. If you see it three times, then whoa, I saw that three times in one day or three times in one hour. Whoa, what's going on? You know, all of a sudden now, 1111 becomes important enough for your RAS to filter out all the non-1111 numbers that you're seeing and get your focus fixed more on 1111. So it's like once you notice it, now you're going to see it everywhere because your brain locks into pattern. That's a real mundane, boring explanation for why people see time prompts. But if you talk to people, and we, you know, people from all over the world that see these number sequences, very many of them feel, they know, they've had some kind of metaphysical, spiritual, physical, any kind of experience along with it that gave meaning to that number prompt. And they insist, you know, that the two are linked. And there's so much of that that you can't ignore that, even though there is a perfectly, you know, scientific, mundane explanation.
And you folks pay attention, because that's what you need to do. We're speaking with Marie.
Yeah,
it's about paying attention. We're speaking with Marie Jones. She co-authored 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, Mysterious Science Sequences and Synchronicities with Larry Flaxman. You can check her out at her website. That's mariedjones.com. This is a 2.0 of the original book she put out in 2009. It's got a lot of very deep and fun tidbits in it, and I'm going to talk to her about a couple of those in a second. But if you're, you know, trying to be aware, more aware of what's going on, start to be aware of the numbers that keep coming up in your life, because they have meaning, and it's very, very important. So, Marie, the 1111, I got a few questions on that. First of all, you have in the book about the $100 bill, so I went in my purse and pulled out mine, and it actually came to be true. So tell us the interesting numbers of 11 on the $100 bill that coincide to 1111.
Oh my gosh! Now I gotta go find that section. Well, first of all, I want to say that the reason why, you know, and I forgot to bring this up, and probably a lot of people are thinking, well, why 1111 anyway? Well, the reason why 1111 became so important had a lot to do with the fact that December 21st, 2012 was supposed to be a very profound, almost, you know, an end-of-the-world scenario. Well, that didn't come true. But the 1111 actually came from the exact Greenwich Mean Time that the winter solstice was supposed to begin that day. So a lot of people kind of freaked out thinking, oh, my God, either that's when, you know, the world is going to end, which it didn't, or that's when the doorway to a higher consciousness level of being a fifth dimension will occur. I don't know if that really happened either, because we're still, you know, having a lot of the same issues that we've had before.
We've regressed.
A lot of people we have. But, you know, a lot of people will say that they did have a personal shift of consciousness, and a lot of that could have been because they were expecting it. So anyway, okay, so I found the $100 bill, which shows you it's been a while since I actually had one in my hand.
Girl, get one and put it in your purse. That's your emergency fund.
It's like, well, here, let me go grab one out of my wallet. Oh, that's a dollar bill. Okay. So the back of the, and I don't know if this has been changed, but the original $100 bill, if you count the windows on the smaller building, to the right and left of the main part of the Independence Hall, it adds up to 1111. Now, we're not including doors in that. So, you know, people have said, oh, this is not a coincidence. This is something that was, because a lot of our money, the symbols are, you know, ancient, they're metaphysical. Some of them come from Freemasonry. And so a lot of people thought, well, this is definitely something that was done on purpose. 1111, you know, it's part of some bigger conspiracy, but it could just be whoever designed it.
11 numbers work for them.
And see, that's the problem, is like, we don't know, is this just an accident, or, you know, was this done on purpose? But it really is interesting, the more that you get into number symbolism and different buildings and sacred geometry, you start to think, ooh, there are people that realize how powerful and important numbers are, and so they incorporated it in our architecture, in art, in literature, in, you know, in everything that would appeal to our subconscious. Because if you look at a building like this, you're not going to notice how many windows. Nobody's going to count the windows unless someone points out to you, hey, look, there's 11 on each side. Then it becomes important, and it's something that you notice.
Yeah, it's a more increased in awareness, and the more you're aware of things, folks, the easier, in a sense, life becomes for you, because you don't have to necessarily drill down into everything that you see, but at least in your subconscious mind, it's picking it up and storing it for when you need it. Now, Marie, the 1111 prompt is also, some people think, a doorway to Satan. which I thought was kind of interesting. But, you know, everybody has their take on it, and that's okay, you know, because for the people who follow that lineage, that's important to them. So I think you can extract out of it everything that is said. But the other famous number that's out there that doesn't have necessarily a positive connotation in the United States is the 666. I mean, you said in your book that Ronald Reagan, when he was out of office and he went back to California, his house number was 666, and he had to change to 668 because he didn't want to have that mark of the beast on him, so to speak. And if you counted the letters in Ronald Wilson Reagan, that added up to 666. A lot of people at the time thought he was the Antichrist, you know. So,
that's funny.
And even go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. It's
now,
actually a good luck number, though, to the Chinese.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you think about it, it's, you know, 3 is considered the perfect number. Pythagoras, you know, a lot of sacred geometry uses variations of the number 3, 6, 9, 12, blah, blah, blah. So if you think about it, 6s are really a lot of 3s.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, because that number was mentioned in the Book of Revelation with really no explanation as to how they came up with that number or, you know, why that number was particularly evil, it took number 13. The number 13 is actually considered a lucky number to a lot of people because, you know, think about Jesus and his 12 apostles or disciples, and the zodiac has 12 signs, but the 13 is the full entire zodiac.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's all open to interpretation. Anybody who plays a roulette wheel, the sum of the numbers on a roulette wheel is 666, so I don't know, that's kind of scary.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's really interesting. You know, there's other references to that number in the Bible. It's 666 is the number of gold talents King Solomon collected in 1 year.
Uh-huh.
It's the number of the Adonikam descendants who returned to Jerusalem and Judah from the Babylonian exile. You know, but it also has sort of that evil connotation that has developed over time.
Uh-huh.
And thanks to movies like The Omen, it's only gotten worse.
yeah. And boy, if your birthday or whatever adds up to 666, you're like, I'm doomed. And I was going to say earlier that Kushner's building in New York City that he's having so much trouble with, I think it's 666 Park Avenue. And it's interesting just to watch the dynamic around that. But, you know, it is what it is.
But add up the 3 6s. If you get 18, add 1 and 8, and you get one of the most positively powerful numbers there is, which is the number 9. So it's like, okay. But again, it's like with 13 and buildings not having a 13 on their elevators, like that's going to wipe out the fact that there actually is a 13.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you're living in a 15-story building and it eradicated the 13th floor, guess what? If you're living on, 414, you're really in the energy of 13. So, you know, we need to stop BSing ourselves, and that's bullshit, that we can truly live absolute wonderful lives. Now, talk to us a little bit about DNA and numbers. You mentioned that pretty early on in your book about DNA and the correlation between our DNA and the number system.
Well, our DNA is made up of a very specific number of it's a mathematical-based code system.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people believe that the DNA that has not been yet given a certain application is just junk DNA. But we're beginning to find out that everything has a purpose, including a lot of the junk DNA, which now we're learning is, you know, some of it controls our proclivities to certain diseases.
Uh-huh.
You know, the more that we learn, the more we understand. But it's all mathematically coded, the strands, and how they match up with each other. So again, it's showing that there is this mathematical basis to everything, including the most fundamental ingredients, I guess you could say, uh-huh. of what we are. So, you know, and you can look at a strand of DNA and you see the patterns. You see the correspondence between all of the, I think there's 64, oh gosh, I just drew a complete blank on the word.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you, but I'm not seeing what it is.
But if you look at a DNA strand, and mm-hmm. you look also at how they have been, like a genetic code sequence, and the human genome has been accomplished, so you can actually Google that and see. You know, you will see that there's a lot of mathematics and number sequences involved. So if the universe operates off of mathematical principles and ratios, why not our own bodies? I mean, the very fabric of what makes those biological and chemical interactions in the universe are happening within us, too, to a degree.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
it's like, what is it, as above, so below, and the microcosm and the macrocosm.
Mhm. Yeah,
so our genes, yeah, our DNA is like a little baby universe.
Well, that's great, because we can all access, if we choose to, we can all access any part of the universe by just really doing a deep dive into ourselves, exploring who we are.
Well, they always say go within, right? If you want to learn anything, don't always be looking outside yourself. Go within.
So talk to us a little bit, Marie, about the number 8. It is the infinity symbol. Exists that the infinity symbol's on its side. Is there any really strong particular meaning behind the number 8? I know the Asian population seems to love it.
Oh, gosh. I don't hear you going to make me look this up again. Oh, boy.
Okay. I am so sorry. You know, I
no,
didn't write
okay.
down
you
pages when I was talking, so.
No. 42. Because
41, 42.
Uh-huh. Because I've written, like, how many books since this? And so my brain, right now I'm writing a book on toxins in our water, food, air. So my brain is, like, focus
there.
On toxins. Yeah, exactly. That's not going to be a fun book.
Well, folks, infinity
anyway.
Is not toxic, so just keep that
no,
in mind.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, the infinity symbol, I'm not so sure if it was intended to look like the number 8 or that's just the way it happened. Eight is unfortunately not a prime number. It's not it's not a 3 or a 6 or a 9, which are considered the perfect holy numbers. One thing, though, about 4s and 8s is that Native Americans believed that the even numbers, especially starting with 4, were very significant because they were 4 represented the 4 corners of the earth, the 4 winds, the 4 seasons, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, 8 doesn't seem, I'm trying to find some good stuff about 8, but all I see is, you know, this relationship to the infinity symbol, which to me is sort of a stretched out number 8.
Yeah, and, I think that with the infinity numbers that, and the number 8, you know, it's a continuous loop. Okay, and if you have a lot of 8s in your phone number, for example, that's considered, at least by the Asian population, as being a very auspicious phone number to have, or the house or whatever. I actually had some work done on my home recently, and the contractor had on his license plate 2 letters, and then a heart sign, and then 888, and it was all about bringing in that energy of the 8, and he says, well, that makes my business prosperous, and, you know, he's a very good contractor, and he was quite busy all the time, so it's just amazing how, you know, the number can silently, if you will, affect us, and we don't even realize it, and once we know what we're talking about, or at least have some idea of what we're talking about, it really brings everything together. Marie, before I let you go, question. Why do numbers really matter? I mean, so what, we see them, you know, we see them on license plates, billboards, the bus stop seats as we're going by. Why is it that numbers are so important?
Well, you know, and you just pointed out how interpretation is important, too. If Asians consider a specific number, or Native Americans, but maybe other people, other regions of the world don't. So it, obviously those numbers have great meaning in their stories or myths, their economy, their culture. They're important because literally the language of the universe is mathematical. Numbers not only define the most fundamental levels of reality, and when I say numbers, I'm talking also about mathematical ratios and sequences and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But subconsciously, they're very archetypal. Our subconscious looks at a number. The number one is different from the number two. The number eight here, you know, is different from 666. Our brains, our subconscious mind has a much different way of reading the language of numbers than our analytical, rational, conscious mind, which just looks at them as like, oh boy, math, balancing my checkbook, doing my taxes, measuring stuff. So it's a very, numbers are very powerful. They're a language of the subconscious. And when you see them all the time, there is a meaning to that, whether the meaning happened the first time you noticed them or it's ongoing. And a lot of times consciously, you won't know what that is until the subconscious is ready to reveal that information.
Okay, and it's amazing the information you get. Now, folks, in her book, toward the end of the book, she's written a lot about number trivia and anomalies. And one of my favorites was your phone number. So I'm going to kind of give you a freebie, but I want you to go back and get the book because there's a lot more in there. So she says to key into the calculator the first three digits of your phone number, not the exchange. Now, I mean the exchange, not the area code. Okay. And then multiply that number by 80. And then add to that the number 1. Multiply that number by 250. And then add the last four digits of your phone number to that, and then add the last four digits of your phone number again to that total. Then you subtract 250, and then you divide it by 2, and voila, you have your phone number looking at you. I did that. I got like 7 different numbers coming into one, you know, for business, and every single one, it turned out like that. So,
you know, it's so funny. I've had a couple of people say, oh, it didn't work, but then it was like, oh, they put in the wrong number, you know, they keyed in the one number wrong. And yeah, in the original 1111, we had a ton of these, and, you know, we took some of them out just because we needed more room for the basic text, but there's some really freaky anomalies with number games. And it really does kind of get scary, like, oh, who or what is behind all of this sophistication? Is this just random?
Random. Well, that's a good question, because nothing's random. And then it's like, wow, that really makes you think deep.
Yeah. And the fact that it gets so specific, too. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Well, I didn't do well in math in school, and I cheated through algebra. I did geometry okay. That was really interesting, and I cheated my way through trig. So I was glad to get out of math because
hated,
it didn't work well. But numerology is like, oh, welcome home. You know, so it's I guess, you know, your slant on numbers or whatever.
Sacred geometry and things like that are so fascinating that they actually give you a new appreciation for numbers and math and all those ratios and measurements that you were supposed to do in high school and college, but you hated doing. It's like, oh my gosh, there's a reason why they teach this stuff. It's fundamental to our understanding of who we are.
Yeah, I didn't use trig and algebra later on in life, but it definitely comes in handy now, you know, with, you know, learning more about who we are and where we're at and where we're going. So, Marie, thank you. Thank you so much for doing a 2.0 2.0 version. And again, this is the 11:11 time prompt, the time prompt phenomenon, mysterious signs, sequences, and synchronicities. You can get it everywhere. Go get it because it's a great update to the original book. If you enjoyed the first, you're going to love this one. Available on Amazon and everywhere. So Marie, thank you for being with me as we collectively get over it and talk about numbers. I greatly appreciate it. Yeah. And to the
audience, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And to the audience, I thank you for being with us today too. If you're looking for a consultation to kind of shift that vibe and maybe help you get into, you know, learning about your numbers and what they mean to you, give me a call. Consultations 30 minutes or longer are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call. 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of understanding the numbers in your life. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.